Thursday morning broadcast, JM and the AM. We've been over-anxious to speak with President Richard Joel because of the, well, ever since the campuses went nuts in the United States, we've been over-anxious to speak with him, and we have him with us live via telephone, in addition to being the President Emeritus of Yeshiva University, and a period of time that, frankly, I consider the glory days of Yeshiva, at least in very, very modern times. In addition, he served, I can't believe it was 15 years, wow, served as president of International Hillel for 15 years from 1988 through 2003. President Richard Joel, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Good morning, Nachum. It's always wonderful to hear your dulcet tones.
I appreciate that. So I assume in your era with Hillel, and frankly, for those who don't know the history, I don't know if you'd agree with this. We always viewed it that until you got there, it was somewhat of a dormant organization. You brought it to life, really increased the work that it was doing on so many hundreds of campuses around the country. We don't have to debate this. That's the reputation, and I'm sure you don't feel the need to argue at the moment. But in that era, when you served as international president, I'm assuming that the Hillel role was more of making Jewish students feel comfortable on campus, allowing them to adjust, providing educational, inspirational, and social programming, et cetera, et cetera. I am assuming that during your 15 years, this role of being on the front lines of a political battle and facing and having to supervise students who are facing off in demonstrations and sometimes becoming the victims of violent acts on campus, I'm assuming that didn't exist in that period of time. Is my analysis correct?
Somewhat, but unfortunately, you know, hatred and the Jew being targeted or the Jew being alone is not a new phenomenon. And I could have been the president of Hillel in the 1700s, and we'd certainly have that. The difference was our focus at Hillel was able to be thinking about how students were part of a Jewish Renaissance,
right,
and how you would promote Jewish identity and a strong sense of community and a strong sense of responsibility. But at the same time, there was always activism on college campus. There was, remember, it's you're talking about important years there from 88 to 2003. So while there are other issues in the Jewish community, the issue of Israel and its safety and its security and whether it had any partners for peace was very prominent. The difference is that it wasn't we had all kinds of rallies. The Palestinian supporters would do all kinds of things, and we would have counter events. We had major organizations like AIPAC and ADL also being active on campus. So it was there. The difference is it wasn't the main focus, and it wasn't the main focus of us as Jews or Israel as Israel even. Several things have happened to change that dynamic beyond the pogrom of October 7th.
I would think one of the great differences is how things that you just described, demonstrations, activism, etc., have turned violent. I mean, isn't it, you know, the types of episodes that we are seeing on college campuses, including in New York, the in-your-face nature of them. Isn't that a big difference than 20 years ago?
Well, there was some of it 20 years ago, but it's more prevalent now. But I would tell you that the fear on campus on the part of Jewish students in some ways is more than just fear of physical violence. It's fear of ostracism. It's fear of being targeted. It's fear of no safe place. And yes, there's a fear of violence, but even with a campus with much security, the notion of being targeted, the notion of being so critically wrong, the right, notion of, you know, of being a minority group who deserves to be a minority group is different. There's the culture of correctness was there 20 years ago, but it was not defining. And I think the other issue is that the Palestinian activism always had support and always had supporters, but it hadn't been accepted into the politically correct movement as it is now. In other words,
became mainstream.
It is so mainstream that if you're going to come up with your litany of causes you support with all the isms, that's one of them. It's not about the Uyghurs in China, and it's not about people in Sudan, and it's not about the migrants who are having to flee from South America. The key cause, the foreign cause, it's not Ukraine. It's the plight of the Palestinian, the oppression of the apartheid state of Israel.
So
said as a mantra.
No, I hear that. But part of what we're seeing, and by the way, I don't know to what degree this is true. It could be, half of it could be rumor. But if in fact students nationwide are now reconsidering where they're going to school, they're looking for campuses that are safer, larger Jewish communities, infrastructure, security infrastructure better on. And I'm not even talking about the Jewish universities right now. There are others that have a reputation for a large Jewish population. Jews feel very comfortable, etc. I mean, you don't remember. Again, during your tenure, any type of panic where Jewish students were looking to actually change colleges for those reasons, do you?
Despite my efforts. Look,
but that's a new phenomenon, right?
It's a new phenomenon, but my frustration was it shouldn't have been a new phenomenon. In other words, the conversation that parents should be having and should have had always with students was, where do they go to grow as human beings and to grow as Jews as well? Right. In other words, the questions of what kind of campus community it is, what kind of Hillel and Chabad there is, how many friends you're going to have, is it located near a thriving Jewish community? Is there a sense of purpose? And is the university a place where intellectual activity is still flourishing, should have been, not because of Israel, but because you're sending your child off to their first independent time to grow and to grow as a Jew. That remains true. It's not automatic.
I get it, but safety should also be part of that parental discussion. Frankly, will you be physically safe there? That's a big consideration. President Richard Joel is with us. All right. So now, I mean, look, all of this is obviously important, and we're glad we got to discuss all this with you. But this might be the real reason why we've asked you on, because there's an area of expertise that you have that nobody else can address. You know these college presidents, these university presidents. You know them. If you don't know them, the ones that are in office today, you probably knew them when they were assistants to the presidents, during your era as president up at YU. What could you tell us about what you expected from their reaction, and somewhat collectively, I know we can't, put everybody, bunch them all together, but somewhat collectively, what you've thought of the reaction from presidential university offices?
It's hard to say that one is still surprised and horrified, but I was surprised and horrified largely. Now there are other places. Rabbi Ari Berman, who's the president of Yeshiva University currently, has built a coalition of schools that have signed on to a group to advocate for creating safe communities and for decrying the terrorism that is taking place in Hamas and in so many places where Jews live. Yes, there is. It goes back to 1968 when students of my generation took over administration buildings in protest, that university administrations started to become afraid of their students. It was at the same time that the notion of a university as an open, warm place for the discussion of the value of values, where it was a place where you could sit under trees and talk about great ideas free of fear, started to change as the era of anger started to grow. And I have to say, in defense, although I really don't want to defend the university presidents, the job has become so much more complicated. The number of constituents that you have to negotiate with, and the ugly face of of social media and the internet. There are other faces, but the right. ugly face has really been in your face. So you are being whipsawed back and forth as a president. Having said that, if you've chosen to be a president, it's because you want to stand for values and for security and for safety and for an environment of openness. I mean, I don't think that advocacy for Palestine should be banned. I think it should be one of the voices heard, but heard appropriately and heard as a conversation, not as a scream. Right. But let's also remember that we're not just talking about Israel advocacy. We're talking about anti-Semitism.
Right.
And I was one of those guys back in the 1980s and 90s when we were doing phenomenal things at Hillel and when we were opening Hillels throughout the former Soviet Union. I really thought that the age of anti-Semitism was in deep eclipse and that it had become an excuse for us, be Jewish because, you know, Hitler killed 6 million of us, but there wasn't real anti-Semitism. I was wrong. Because Esau's son is Yaakov.
Yep.
Because Esau hates Israel, and now in an era of where we have given permission for incivility, and you know, you and I probably have different political views, but the United States over the last several years, instead of having incivility just being in little pockets. Or being quiet has been given permission to scream.
National incivility.
Right. And remember that the university is not a separate place
right.
from society. It's a small community
right.
in society that reflects as much as it promotes.
Yeah, and in a way, it's a central part of our society, as we know. Finally, who's the carbon this morning? Who was it that you said to you, was it NYU, was it Brandeis, was it Barnard, was it Columbia, was it Harvard, who when he heard a reaction that he heard, who did President Richard Joel react by just, you know, throwing up his hands and rolling his eyes? Who would be a good example of that if you're willing to say so publicly?
First of all, look, I think Harvard has been disgraceful. I can't tell you I was immensely surprised because you know the pendulum has swung there and that's very sad. I would tell you that when my friend John Sexton was president of NYU, it never would have happened there.
Wow.
And now they're frankly going through an interregnum. So it's not like they're at a time of the greatest strong leadership. It's coming.
Mm.
But I mean that's a shocker, and it's a shocker that sits in New York. There's always been activism. Remember, student activists are student activists.
Yep.
But the snarl, the anger, and the place where sadly I'm not terribly surprised but saddened is Columbia.
Right.
And we don't see any of that at Yeshiva University, where I teach wonderful men and women. But it's also important to know that yeshiva is not in a bubble, it's in a tent,
right.
and it needs to also go beyond the tent and use its influence, you know, with other young people, which is why there'll be 2,000 students from Yeshiva University in Washington on Tuesday.
Pretty impressive. I hope.
Well, I'm still doing advertising.
I hope. Yeah, I see that. I hope other colleges, the Hillels, the Chabads, JLICs. I hope they'll also encourage their students take some time off and send them to Washington.
We each need to have courage. We need to have courage, if, you know, facing the blatancy of people not thinking about from the river to the sea means kill all the Jews.
Yeah.
And we need to be us. We need to be us. But strongly and in the face of evil.
Yeah. Well understood. And he also always articulates these points amazingly. He's President Richard Joel, President Emeritus Yeshiva University, and of course, for a period of 15 years, the President of Hillel International. Kent, thank you enough. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And
it's my pleasure, Nachum, but you really have to be correct and say that you are one of the strongest voices we have for pride and advocacy and decency, and keep the voice loud.
Appreciate that very, very much. And we'll keep it loud in Israel next week as well. President Richard Joel, always a delight. You're listening to a Thursday morning edition of JM in the AM.